Sudan, and we're entering into a kind of a funny season. June is traditionally kind of a funny season for church because there's lots of things going on and lots of people going on vacations beginning soon and things like that, and we're between books. Today I wanted to, this week I was reading. Sometimes these are great opportunities to take a little aside, to take a little trail up into the woods a little bit and see what we can find, metaphorically speaking. And I was reading this week, I was reading the Psalms this week, and I came across something, and I wanted to share it with you. It'd be great if I had the right page of notes in front of me. There you go. I was reading something, I want to share it with you. I wanted to pitch an idea to you, and maybe we'll gain a tool, an exercise that we can do in our lives to help maybe bridge the gap between our faith and our real life. Yeah? We need those, don't we? Sometimes our real lives seem so out of sync with faith and church and God and things like that. So that's what we're going to do this week a little bit. Here, very shortly, let's just go ahead and read Psalm 108, then we'll pray and get into it. Psalm 108. I don't know what it says in your Bible, but in mine, the heading is, "With God we shall do valiantly." So that's where I'll be reading, the Psalm of David. "My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will wake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth, that your beloved ones may be delivered. Give salvation by your right hand and answer me. God has promised in his holiness, with exultation I will divide up Shechem and portion out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah my scepter, Moab is my wash basin, upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go out, O God, with our armies. O, grant us help against the foe. For vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our foes." Strong words. Yeah? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you so much for the way that you give us strength and you give us hope. Hope even when things around us say that all is lost. So Lord, I pray today that you would visit us in a special way, and I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, and that you'd open up our understanding, that we might maybe get a new tool, maybe get a new tactic, and have some fun, but mostly, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself and show us more of who you are and who you want to be for us, your church. I do pray, Lord, as always, that you smooth my wrinkles. Please guard my words, and we pray that you would get glory in this time. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. We're going to get a little interactive today, just a little. So as you listen, be thinking, because I'm going to ask you for some things, some examples, and some we're going to have a couple of brief exercises as we practice maybe this tactic that we're going to learn. Today's message is called Praise and Hyperbole. Praise and Hyperbole. I love hyperbole because, I see a few of you smiling because you love it, hyperbole too. Because one of the most, as we go through our lives, James, get that ready. It's going to be soon, okay? As we go through our lives, sometimes we experience, one of the ways that we experience humor is through hyperbole. What is hyperbole? If you don't know, hyperbole, not hyperbole, hyperbole is a figure of speech that uses extreme, deliberate exaggeration to make a point, to add humor, or to evoke strong emotions. It's very commonly used, right? I've got a million things on my to-do list, right? We're familiar with hyperbole. Now, when things get funny in this world, it's when we mix pride with hyperbole. Some of the funniest people, sometimes I fall into this category because I like to be silly. Some of the funniest people will make hyperbolic claims and exaggerations, and it's really, really funny. And now, just to illustrate that point, I've got a clip prepared, or James has a clip prepared. I asked him to prepare. Are you ready? From the movie Napoleon Dynamite. Now, I want you guys, make sure we got the good volume here. The guy on the right side of the screen is Uncle Rico. Now, if you don't know, he's going to give you some great examples here of pride with hyperbole. And we'll gauge your response. Okay, you ready, James? Let's watch.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Watch this.
What the heck are you doing?
That's what I'm talking about.
I let it go.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah, coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things would have been different. I'd have gone pro. In a heartbeat, I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate.
Okay, it's funny, isn't it? Back in 82, I could throw a pigskin a quarter mile. And he believed it, right? In his mind, he believed it. That's where we get the humor. There are some people walk around this world and you throwing around hyperbole. I could shoot the wings off a fly 200 yards, you know, things like that. This bike as fast as a rocket sled on rails. We're used to hyperbole, and it's so fun to play with that, and I've probably done my share of playing with hyperbole mixed with pride. Now, here's where interaction. Give me another example of hyperbole with pride. Somebody just shouted out. You can do it. What? Let's do it. Engage brain.
I bet I could ride the Lance Armstrong.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Right, I bet I could beat Lance Armstrong. He's a wuss. Yeah. Let's hear another one. Huh? Did you hear that? He says, I am the humblest man of all of you. Yeah, that's a good one. I like it. Come on, one more. There you go. Okay, we've had three from the Schraubens. Come on, people. One more. One more from a non-Schrauben. What's that? There you go. My kids are best. Love it. We do it all the time, though, don't we? We do hyperbole with pride all the time because we know it's hilarious and ridiculous. That's the point of hyperbole. It's a vast exaggeration. Meant to make a point. So what's this got to do with our faith journey? That's why we're here, right? Have you ever before heard of hyperbole in worship? You probably haven't thought of it that way, but you sure have because we read some just this morning. So Psalm 108 that we read this morning, Psalm 108 is actually kind of a little bit of an interesting and a unique kind of psalm. And we've already read it, but it's In the section of Psalms known, it's book 5 of the Psalms. The Psalms are divided up into books, have different purposes and different sort of themes. And book 5 itself is divided into different sections as well. We find the songs of ascents in book 5. That's the songs that the Jews would sing as they approached Jerusalem. But Psalm 108 is one of the first couple in book 5. And it's actually assembled together by David from two other psalms. Did you know that? This psalm is not unique. It's actually a section of two other psalms. In fact, verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 108 is taken from Psalm 57, verses 7 through 11. If you flip back to Psalm 57, you'll see the same verses. And the second half, verses 6 through 13, are from Psalm 60. Verses 5 through 12. So he's taken these chunks out of two other psalms and he's put them together to make this psalm, Psalm 108. Now, the other two psalms that he took them from were lamenting psalms. You know what a lament is? A lament is when you're overwhelmed and crying out to God, please help me, where are you? You know, show yourself to me. It's a plea to God. And he's taken these He's taken these two lamenting psalms and he's put together this one and assembled it here. And I love the way, so I read a lot of commentaries, obviously, when preparing for messages. I love the way that Matthew Henry's commentary describes Psalm 108. One of the ways he does so is he says this: when the heart is firm in faith and love, the tongue, being employed in grateful praises, is our glory. So, what he's saying is, David's heart is solid here in God, and he's letting his tongue fly for glory. And do you see it? Let's revisit that opening verse again and see if we can find the hyperbole in worship. My heart is steadfast, O God. I will sing and make melody with all my being. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. Do you love it? He's given us an example here of using outrageous language to illustrate a point, to evoke emotion. I don't think he's doing it to add humor in this case. But what he's doing is using that figure of speech to express what he sees, what he feels, what he hopes for, and to look for and to call out to evoke God. Now, I chose Psalm 108 to talk about today. But really, hyperbole, especially hyperbole mixed with metaphor, is a common tool used in the scriptures and used to worship God and to seek him out and to find him in day-to-day things. Psalm 98, for example, let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy. Now, let's be thinking people. Do rivers even have hands to clap? No, they don't. Do hills sing? Going back to 108, David says, I'll sing. He says, I'll sing and make melody with all my being. Does David's foot have the ability to sing and make songs, make music, make melody? No. But what he's doing is, do you see it? Is it making sense? Are we drawing the lines here? He's using hyperbole mixed with metaphor. We know it well. We put it in our songs. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. You know, hyperbole is also something we use in lament itself as we cry out to God in Psalm 69. I sink deep in mire where there is not a foothold. I have come into deep waters and the flood sweeps over me. Literal? No. It's hyperbole. It's a vast exaggeration to make a point. Psalm 6, every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. I drenched my bed with a fever this week, but it's gross. That's not hyperbole. No, but see, he's using hyperbole again. Psalm 22, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. Are his bones really out of joint? Is he poured out like water? No, he's not liquefied. Again, using metaphor. Psalm 57, my soul is among lions, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Okay, we've established that hyperbole mixed with metaphor can be a powerful expression of the things that we feel, of the things that we seek God out for, of the things that we notice around us. How often, though, and David is talking about things he knows about, wild animals and armies and floods and natural things. So here's the exercise for us this morning. When was the last time you used hyperbole or metaphor mixed with hyperbole in your day-to-day life to acknowledge something about yourself toward God, to acknowledge something about God toward yourself, to cry out to him, to engage your faith? Do you ever do it? Because I know that some of you have definite cause to do so. Okay, I told you this is going to be interactive, and I've already asked you for some examples of hyperbole and pride, so you kind of know where this is going, right? Here pretty soon, I'm going to ask you for some examples of hyperbole in praise or lament that we could use for our lives. So be thinking. But why would we want to do this? Again, this can be a really powerful tool to help notice things of faith in our lives, because that's where we lack sometimes. We're going through life and we have church life, faith life, and then we have real life. This can be a really powerful way that we can start to mix the two. So, here's your task. I want to encourage you as we go on to take some time to do this, maybe while you're working or maybe while you're over coffee, get a notebook or just think as you're working, as you're doing life, and think about these things. It can be a type of prayer, honestly, paired with what we observe. So, I want to hear a few hyperbole mixed with metaphor from your life that you could use to tell your to inform yourself or to feed your faith. I'm going to give you one example from Gary's life. My heart is like a warped brake rotor. Turn me, O God. Good, yeah, that's a good one, wasn't it? Okay, is there any more? Come on, you guys are smart. Go, Dan. Good. General, but good.
But are they really? No.
Yeah. Let's have some more. We're on the right track. What are things you interact with every day, and how are they like God? Go. Yeah. Good. Good. You guys are getting slaughtered by the Shrobins. Come on. Wake up.
Daily life is like the laundry of six people in a home. Every day needing cared for and washed and made clean for the next day.
Good. Men. Love it. Good, Cash, good. So you start to see, we can take things that we engage, that we touch. That's what David's doing. Taking things from his real life, and he's showing God's qualities and his needs and his relationship and his dependence on God from the things that he encounters. Here's another way. Here's another way to twist it. Not twist it. That sounds bad. Here's another angle we can take. Look at what David says here at the beginning of the 108th Psalm. I already read it twice. Look at the Look at the ridiculous claim that he makes in the Lord. I'm going to wake up the dawn with my praises. Now, just to point out one more time, is he actually the one that's going to wake the dawn? No, what he's saying is, I am going to let it all hang out. I'm going to be so recklessly abandoned in my worship, it's going to make such a racket that it's going to wake the dawn. Can we, without being delusional, I'm not trying to advocate for being delusional, but can we use a little hyperbole in our claims with God? Here's the reality. Especially when it comes to physical things, but also spiritual and mental things too. When people have a challenge set before them, a hard challenge, most people, according to statistics, most people will quit before they achieve 20% of what they're actually able to achieve. Okay, and I think the number's actually lower than that. I padded it up because I wasn't sure of the statistic. So, most people will quit before they reach 20% of what they can actually achieve. They'll tell themselves it's too hard. They'll tell themselves they can't, and they'll just quit. Especially when it comes to things like, you know, physical things. That's where they got this statistic from, is like, are you running, okay? Most people will just, they'll flip that switch and they'll quit before they even reach a fifth of what they're actually able to do. We do the same thing in our spiritual lives. We do the same things in our relationships. We do the same things with any obstacle that we come across. So, a lot of that is because we just have terrible thinking. Can we use David's tool of hyperbole to give us strength to move on? I think we can. I'll give you an example. We got some truckers in here. With God, I'm like a chipped up Peterbilt. Ain't nothing gonna stop me. What if we began to change our thinking like that? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? You truckers, you're just rolling down with the Lord, man. Ain't nothing gonna stop me. It makes us feel good, and it's supposed to. David, I'm gonna wake up the dawn with my praises. I'm not asking you to lie to yourself. What I am asking you to do is exercise a little hyperbole when it comes to your faith. Give me an example. Come on. Interact. Think of it. Nope, not a Shrobin. Sorry. I love you guys, and I think you're great. You're already on the number one of the podium. Okay? We need to let other people think here. Sorry, Mary. I love you. Pull from what you see and interact with every day. Where do you see strength? Where do you see power? There you go. Good. I'm made new. Good. Good, Tim. I'm waiting. Come on, guys. I could look at every single one of you and think of something. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make you do it.
As I lead in my role at work, I'm going to allow God to lead me.
There you go. You see it? Come on, men. Ah, men. Let's go. See, that's the funny part of it. I was going to say, while you're thinking, don't stop thinking because I'm talking, okay? While you men are getting some examples ready to share, men are really, really good at hyperbole with pride. Aren't we? Yeah, we are. Can we be good, just as good at hyperbole with worship? Come on, let's hear at least one from a man. Let's do it. It's only going to get more awkward. Good. One more. Come on, you can do it. Good. Okay. I'll let you guys go. Good job. See? Lots of things about power. Lots of things about restoration. So, that's your assignment for this week. This is something we can take with us everywhere we go. When we're driving down the road or we're working on something, we can see and notice that's like God. Right? This is like what Christ does. Think of the power in acetylene. It's like the Holy Spirit. You know? This is your assignment for the week. Not to be delusional, but to engage with our lives. So next time, maybe this afternoon, you'll be sitting down. Maybe you'll be taking a walk. Maybe you'll be sitting down with a cup of coffee. Grab a notebook. See if you can, when there's no pressure, and you don't have to talk in front of people, because it's scary, I know. You guys are all scared. Think of some things. Look for where God's power is in your life. Look at what you engage with that can teach you about God. And here's the double dare, extra special, extra credit assignment. Get crazy with it. Get crazy with it. Make claims like David made claims. See what that does in your thinking. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us to be creative and kind of wild and even kind of silly. Lord, I thank you for this example that David gave us of the kind of confidence that we can have when we are in you to make a hyperbolic statement like, I'm going to wake the dawn. Because, Lord, you do inspire us. And you call us to things that are so far above and beyond ourselves. We know that we can do nothing without you. But with you, there's nothing we can't do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would awaken our hearts to notice those hidden gems in our lives. As we go through our days, as we do work, as we fix things and acquire things, and sell things and move things, as we interact with people of different types and sizes and shapes and abilities and ranks, as we engage this world, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be active in us to help us to notice where your truth is, where your power is, that we might notice it, call it out, and include ourselves in it as you have seen fit to ordain. So we love you, Lord. We give you ourselves, and we thank you once again. In your name, amen.